Hey there, Pumpkinheads. Welcome to a bonus episode of the Smashing Pumpcast. Hopefully you enjoyed our episode talking to the SP cover band Siamese Dream. It's something that I'd like to explore a little bit more and interview even more cover slash tribute bands. If you liked it, let us know. So on that topic, I happened to find out that an old comedy buddy of mine from New York, Adam Newman, who also lives in LA now, was in an SP cover band in college called Squishing Squashes. And not only that, he has a joke about an SP connection of sorts in his upcoming comedy special that comes out on March 22nd. He came over and we talked a little bit about Pumpkins, his experience in a Pumpkins cover band, and honestly, just shooting the shit with an old friend. I kind of hit record and we got into the convo, so this episode is going to start a little bit more Mark Maron-y WTF style. Also, word of warning, there is some graphic content in this episode. So if you have kiddos around, get them out of the room or put your headphones on. I try to sanitize it a little bit, but still, probably not safe. So here's my chat with comedian Adam Newman.
When I go on the road, especially not being just being a married dude now, like all I wanted, I just want to try whatever food is good, and I want to find the music stores, and I love finding like a. It's funny because when we were kids, we were around the same age, right?
You're
41.
Yeah, I'm gonna be 42 in a couple of months.
So like. When we were kids playing guitar, like the Boss pedals were cool and expensive.
Yep.
And then there's a bunch of other weird pedals or whatever.
Those were like, Christmas gifts for me, yeah.
But DOD pedals, and I had a lot of DOD
those
pedals.
Those were the affordable ones.
They were half the price. And, you know, they were okay. They'd break easier or whatever. But now when I go on the road and I go to these stores, I find the old DOD. And it sucks because the old DOD pedals, some of them are still cheap, but some of them have just gone like through the roof for whatever reasons, nostalgia. Some YouTube channel says they're awesome, whatever.
Right, but yeah.
I love finding the old 90s pedals.
I saw your Instagram where you had, you were testing out, you were doing, I guess, Santa Cruz, where is it, where you just were at? Or one of your pinned videos where you were trying out a DOD metal. Which one was that pedal that you tried out?
That one was, I think it was a death metal pedal.
Okay, yeah.
And I bought it.
I remember the grunge one.
Yeah.
And that one was kind of shitty.
No, because there's one that like Kurt Cobain like threw off stage. Like,
yes.
We tried it as a joke and threw it off the stage. My bandmate when I was a kid, when we were playing Smashing Pumpkin stuff when I was in like high school, before I was in a cover band,
yeah.
I remember my guitar player had the grunge pedal. It's just so much dirty, which I love. I actually have a DOD, I think it's called Extreme Distortion, which is very similar to it.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
I had my favorite pedal that I used for overdrive was the Metal Zone.
Which is funny because people, YouTubers fight over the Metal Zone.
They really
all the
do.
Time.
But I had it just right. I like found the sweet spot because of the EQ that it would have.
Yeah.
I had the second one, I think, the Metal Zone 2 or whatever, the Boss one. And then I'd have it with a Boss Purple Flanger. And then
I never got the, I had the DOD stereo flanger, the FX 747 or whatever, which I was so jealous of another bandmate that had the, because it's literally twice, it was like $100 versus $50.
Yeah.
And now
I did it on layaway. I remember at the music store, I would always come and pay it off. That's the only way I was like able to afford those pedals. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Christmas, you know.
I mean, I'm like, that's crazy. But right now I'm like the credit card debt I'm in, I look at and I'm like, these are all just guitar projects. Every single one of them is just, I posted a guitar video today that I saw a mean comment right before I got out of the car.
Did those affect you?
This one, I want to say no. Cause like I'll tell you what this one I posted a 1 minute I got into guitar modifications over the pandemic, like I never picked up a soldering iron before the pandemic, and then I just got into like finding the one I posted today was a thing I did over the pandemic and I finally got around to editing it, but it's like I went on Facebook Marketplace and found this like 90s I saw Smashing Pumpkins podcast, liked it, so I think you probably saw it earlier today, but I found like a 90s Ibanez RG guitar for like 550 for like $300, $350.
Holy shit.
And I was like, you know, it's like they go for $800 or $1,000. They're not like crazy expensive. But I was like, for $300, I'm gonna mod this. And so I did all stuff and I posted a little just minute real tightly edited video of it today, and just one of the YouTube comments was just like, seemed like a cool project, but this guy's desperation to look like a badass musician turned me off. And I'm like, I wasn't trying to look bad. I wasn't trying to look badass. There's fart noises in there. There's like, I added in fart noises, and like, I swear a little bit. I'm like, I think he thought I swore a little bit.
That's what you were trying to big time by doing that. Cause anybody who curses is a big time in you.
Oh yeah.
Also it's projection.
Yeah.
Did you go to his page and then see that he has a bunch of guitar mods where he's like, check out this. And starts doing like licks from like,
you know what's funny? That's what you expect. Every time I get a mean comment, I'm like, I'm gonna go to their page and they're gonna have their own similar channel that maybe is good, maybe sucks, whatever, but then you go to it and 10 out of 10 times it's no videos. They've made nothing.
Right.
They've made nothing.
It's just a picture of them in sunglasses in their car doing a selfie.
Which is cool.
So I've known you for that long, and I always thought of you as a metal guy because of the guitars, because I've seen you do, your buddy Trevor and you used to do these like sketch bits.
Yeah.
Where you used to do these like metal heads that had a softer side. I remember that.
We did, we were an effeminate death metal band.
Right.
And we very much on purpose said, we're like, it was based specifically on an old roommate we had, but it was, just a southern effeminate kind of guy. And we thought it'd be really funny if he was a metalhead. So we'd just be like, you know, tough song, like tough riff, executioner masks, and just be like, and then, you know, pull your masks up and be like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like, how is everybody?
But I remember I was like, oh, he can actually shred. Mm-hmm. And it was like interesting to me. So I always thought in my head you were like a metalhead. So when you posted, because recently the Pumpkins are looking for a new guitar player.
Yeah.
And you had posted on your socials about it. And I was like, I had no idea. I was like, I host a Pumpkins podcast.
Oh, that was the first time you heard of it?
Of you, yeah, that was the first time that I've heard of you being in a Pumpkins cover band.
I was like, first time you heard that they were looking for a guitar player.
No,
sure you were on top of that.
Yeah.
I woke up and my inbox was just like, I was just like, do it. And I was like, there's no, first of all, okay, so I am a metal guy. It's probably my favorite kind of music, but I also like, I mean, I like singer-songwritery, acoustic, emo-y, what, I like every, I really like truly some of every kind of music, I think.
Yeah.
But when I was a kid learning to play guitar, first thing I ever learned on guitar was the intro to Today.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Today and the intro to Come As You Are, Nirvana. It was the first two things I learned on guitar.
Those go in tandem, yeah.
You know, not the whole songs or anything. And then, you know, you learn power chords, and then you're like, I'm off and running on both of those.
Yeah.
I could learn the solo to Come As You Are because it was just like three notes up on one string. But Today was a little longer to learn that stuff. But Smashing Pumpkins playing Today on SNL, that whole performance, I think they do Today and Cherub Rock on mm-hmm. the same SNL, and he had that silver Stratocaster with the bat stickers
the bat
on it.
Strat, yeah.
My first real, I had a couple of guitars before, but my first real guitar that I saved up and bought was a Inca silver American Standard Stratocaster.
Wow.
1997, I bought at a guitar center in Georgia, and I had it until I was in college and I was in a metal band. And I was like, I need, you know, it was back in those days, you could afford one guitar.
Yeah.
Still I can, but I have a credit card. But so I got like an SG and I sold that guitar to a buddy when I was like 20 or 21 or something. And over the pandemic, I got in touch with him and found out who he sold it to. And I chased it down. I got it. I got that old silver Strat back.
Wow.
It needed like a body repair. I got it refretted. It's insane what I had to do to that guitar to get it back in working order. But and it had a rosewood neck and not a maple neck. So it wasn't fully,
mine too, yeah.
Yeah, but I got another Strat at some point where I put the full on, lace sensor, three color pack. I don't know how nerdy the gear wise everybody gets on this.
This is the podcast because we talk about lace sensor pickups a lot with the people who are tech savvy, because that's what Billy used.
Yeah,
were lace sensor pickups mm-hmm. in the Strat.
Yeah,
and I tried to save up for that.
Yeah,
and then eventually I was like, but then by that point Machina had come out, and in the Everlasting Gaze video. Yeah. He had the SG, so I got an Epiphone that looked like that.
Yeah.
Because that's what I saved up for, because it was like $300 at Guitar Center.
Oh, an Epiphone SG?
Yeah.
That's funny. I have an SG. I've had a few. I love SGs too. I have a Les Paul too, but it's and because you know James would have the Les Pauls. Yeah. He had that black whatever. What is
I could
it?
Never
Paul
get
custom.
Into Les Pauls. Like the neck, the feel of it,
totally
it just wasn't
feel.
My. Yeah.
When I was younger, I picked one up and I was like, I don't even think I could play this thing. And for yeah. some reason, I don't remember what happened. At some point, I got into them. It's funny because I have a bunch of guitars now, and the Les Paul definitely feels way different than all the other ones. But I do really like it, and it has that. It's just got that neck pickup slash thing that it does.
Yeah.
And for lead stuff, it's really cool. Playing the little when I was a kid, I didn't know. When I first started playing guitar, I didn't know what vibrato was, like with your finger,
yeah.
until the Rocket video.
Yeah.
They do some close up on James doing the little vibrato thing. And I was like, wow.
Same here.
Gotta learn how to wiggle my finger like that. It's awesome.
Like, you could do that sound with your hand?
Yeah.
I thought it was some kind of like effects pedal or something. Exactly. Yeah. Because Metallica, I mean, granted, like I was already looking at Metallica and stuff, but like. Metallica felt like, with Kirk, it felt like, oh, that's just another, that's like guitar god. Like,
yeah.
there's no way I could ever touch that. But with Pumpkins, I was like, this looks like a group of people I could be friends with.
Yeah.
It felt like the band geek band. So, like, I was paying even more attention to, like, the guitar
totally.
Stuff as opposed to being like, that's a god on Mount Metal and I can't touch that.
So, I thought so, too. I mean, I totally thought so, too. It wasn't until way, way later I could even start approaching, you know, guitar solos like that, which is funny because then you learn if you play the intro to Today just like lightning speed, you're like, that's a Kirk Hammett lick right there.
Oh, wow.
It's just totally, I mean, that's just where he lives in that little, those little shapes and stuff. So yeah, you're like, all right, Pumpkins, you know, I'm learning the solos to like, Here Is No Why and the real, you know, kind of learning the bends and a phaser and all these things. And those are cool. But then shit, I didn't take my Adderall today and my brain's all over the place.
You were talking about
and then
today,
it was so yeah. So I always oh Pumpkins are more melodic, whatever, not as shreddy. Although there is some more shreddy stuff. But then I watched when I first got the VHS of Euphoria.
Yeah.
And then you see old Billy Corgan just like shredding in a basement. You're like,
absolutely.
Oh, okay. So he learned that stuff too.
He was a metalhead too. Yeah. I mean, he was like a metalhead, a goth, you know, all that stuff. And then you see that stuff come out in shows all the time.
Yeah.
And even now, just recently, we go to a show and you just see him just like still trying to shred.
Yeah.
And people being looking at people around you, especially if it's a festival where they're not as familiar with the Pumpkins and they're like, I didn't know he could do that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy.
So, yeah. It's really great.
Whereas, you know, we were young. We were watching, you know, Fuck You and Ode to No One. And we're like, this is the heaviest song I've ever heard.
I know.
The live version they did on the whatever that Euphoria re-release thing where they showed that live in Chicago version where it was like Machina era stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Which I saw them on that tour and it was like.
Man. I did too, yeah.
It's just that's just so heavy.
So you were part of a Pumpkins tribute band, a cover band. Well, first, give me every guest on here tells us about their history with the Pumpkins as far as like when they discovered them, if they ever fell off. Because one of the things that Pat and I talked about when we started this podcast was that we had like kind of fallen off in the Reformation era. And then when I was going through treatment, I just went back through the whole catalog.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, there's actually some stuff here I really like. And I wanted to kind of go back through and give it the proper, just like I would when I was in high school.
Like newer era.
Newer era stuff. But we covered from demos to all the way to now.
Okay.
And, but one of the things that we talk about that it's okay if you're like, I fell off after this point.
Yeah, I have a fall off point for sure. I wish I could say I was cool enough that I discovered them with Gish, but we were 11. I don't know how old we were.
Yeah.
It was very much like I saw the Today video on MTV and just the whole ice cream truck thing and how that song sounded was so cool to me.
Yeah.
So I mean, I went out and got that album. Like that was like one of my probably first 10 CDs I bought when I was, you know, 12 or 13 or something.
Yeah.
And then I was even at that age, I was curious. I was like, oh, they have another album. So I got Gish then. And I wasn't even playing guitar yet. And I was around 15. I started playing guitar. I got Melancholy. I remember buying the double disc at a Walmart. I remember it was like $17 and some 30 something cent. I remember all that. And
alternate title on the back. Yeah.
I remember buying that at a Walmart and also having to, because it was a double CD, I could only buy that one because I also wanted to buy Nirvana's In Utero because I knew at that time the Walmart version had it said Waif Me on the back instead. Yeah, so. But I remember not, and I still wish I've actually looked at it on eBay recently. You can get it for, it's not like $500. It's like no. You can just get it for like $10 or whatever.
Yeah.
So I still probably will do that at some point. But so I got into them like that early. And then I went home and was obsessed with, I was really into them, but then got obsessed with Melancholy because it was right around the time I was 14, 15. I was starting to play guitar. Mm. And it's weird because even early on, I was learning like, you know, through the eyes of Ruby and stuff, which yeah. are like, that's much weirder than just your Cherub Rock was, you know,
very straightforward
four chord
yeah.
stuff
yeah,
and,
exactly.
the, and the octave chords and whatever. So they were like huge for me learning how to play guitar.
Same.
Yeah.
I got the tab books for Siamese Dream and Melancholy. That Melancholy one, I tried to go through each song. And yeah. That's how I taught myself basically. Yeah.
What a weird album to learn how to play to. Also, it was so confusing to me. My like favorite stuff then to learn on guitar, I wanted to learn Hendrix stuff and Smashing Pumpkins stuff, and I didn't understand what tune down half a step meant. So I'm
same.
Like, it just doesn't sound the same when I do it. It was yeah. so confusing.
Yeah,
and you know, buying all those pedals and stuff was cool then. I think it sounds like we both had big muffs.
Yeah,
I couldn't afford a phaser. I wanted a phaser so bad.
I eventually got one. I had the Boss phaser.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You were a Boss guy.
I was a Boss guy because I was like, no other pedals. But also, yeah. I was following what, because even in the Melancholy book, it said like what kind of pedals they use.
Mutron biphase.
Well, it's like, I didn't even know what the fuck that was.
No, one can, you can't go get one of that. You can't just go get one for
the Butch Vig,
regional.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just going to an actual builder to get that shit.
Yeah.
But like,
the joke back then was like, if you go into a guitar center, they're like, what's the pedal that makes me sound like Billy Corgan? They give you a big muff, but like, then you watch Butch Vig and you're like, it's 94 guitar tracks. Well, you know, it was a lot of layered.
It was like, yeah, 60 to 70 guitar tracks just on Soma alone or whatever. And I was a Boss Die Hard, and then I remember one year when I started getting into nu metal a little bit, I got one of those Zoom pedals.
I had it
with the digital
well.
One, mm-hmm. and it was like, I didn't like it because it was just so digital.
Yeah,
and there were some cool effects on it, but I was like, this isn't like raw, man.
That stuff works for practicing real quietly at home.
Yeah,
it's not good for
like a direct kind of thing. And then they recently reissued the Big Muff in the smaller.
I have the small green one.
How is that?
It's great.
Yeah, because I've heard that. I want to get it again because I sold my green tank one
right.
when I moved here.
Which I hope you made a lot of money on.
I made enough of it. I really didn't want to let go, but my wife was like, we need money to move.
Oh, my God. It kills me right now. The amount. There's a few amps and guitars that I'm looking to sell right now because it's when you need the money is the worst time to sell, because one thing I definitely have learned is you probably won't get the same thing again. You'll get the reissue, which is cool. I have the reissue, it's great. But like, you're not, I got rid of the old Black Russian one, and I'm not gonna spend $500 to get it back. So
yeah.
I'm not gonna have it again. It makes me sad.
I know.
And so there's a couple guitars and stuff that I want to sell now for the money, and I'm like, because, and they're like the ones I'm not using the most, but I know in 2 years I'll be like, I wish I had that Telecaster. I can't go buy another American Telecaster. It's stupid to whatever.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
So you were a fan, and then when was it that you got a part of this this cover band?
So that was, I got into them when I was like 15, and then the dude I played music with mostly in high school, we had a band where we wrote original songs, and we played a couple covers, and when we got together, we'd learn covers just like for fun, but we didn't really do them live. But we learned a million Smashing Pumpkins songs, and we did play Cherub Rock live sometimes. This is not the cover band, but we played Cherub Rock live sometimes. We played some Radiohead songs. We played some Sunny Day Real Estate songs.
We were going to see them.
I just saw that they were doing the Diary 30th anniversary.
I got tickets to it, yeah.
That was cool. Dude, I liked... They're a band that I liked... I like Diary. I liked, I don't remember the name of the
How
pink one.
How It Feels
one.
To Be. Oh,
How It Feels to Be Something
LP,
On was great. LP
yeah,
2.
Yeah, LP yep. 2, yeah.
How It Feels to Be Something On. And the whatever, the angel one. The blue one.
The Rising Tide.
Rising Tide.
I love that
That's
one.
That's a good
yeah.
album, too.
That is good, yeah.
I don't know if they did more after that one.
Strong enough to feel me. Not too loud to hear me.
and I heard some solo Jeremy Enoch stuff. I like that too.
Yeah.
So yes, I'm not all of metal. But anyway, I saw them live too in Atlanta. No Knife opened up.
I love No Knife.
I couldn't name a song, but I remember.
No Knife was one of
those. I have an amazing memory for this stuff and a horrible memory for most other things.
No Knife, I was just listening to No Knife.
Really?
Actually, yeah, because they were very much like a kind of like, they had a little bit of a swing to them. They were like kind of like post-punk, but
slow
like
Van
also
Halen.
Like, yeah. They might have been from that area, actually. That might have been why they opened up for them. But yeah, I really like No Knife.
Well, that's, yeah, very cool. Those very, my God, those are so late 90s, early 2000s times are here. So that was high school. And then when I went to college, I just played in original bands. And then at some point when we were like, I don't know, I was like 20 or something, and me and some friends in Athens, Georgia, we had all my buds were in bands. We were original bands, and we go tour on spring breaks and summers or whatever. And one of the dudes, his brother was in a cover band that just made so much money. And this is Georgia. This is a University of Georgia that has a big frat life and football weekends. And so they're playing, they're just playing these gigs at bars on the weekends, and they're making a ton of money. And we're watching them once, and they're fine musicians, but we're like, we could do this, and we'd be a little more tongue in cheek, but we'd have a blast. And so we started just a regular mid 90s cover band playing.
Yeah.
We did some Smashy Pumpkins and some Weezer and some Pixies. And then we started really having fun with like kind of the cheesier songs. Like we'd be playing like Seven Mary Three.
Right. Cumbersome.
And the Verve Pipe, the Freshman, and then we play Semisonic's Closing Time, but just keep doing the chorus over and over.
Oh, boy.
And we're just having so much fun.
Yeah.
And, making a few $100 on the weekends doing that. And that was cool. And then we saw that that same kid's brother played drums in a Sublime tribute band or cover band.
Uh-huh.
And their, like, prices went up. Like, I mean, they just started making so much money doing a tribute band. And we were like, dude, there's way more money in tribute bands. Who would we do? And we disagreed on Smashing Pumpkins. We all liked Smashing Pumpkins. I had a buddy who could pull off the Billy Corgan, I thought. And
yeah.
So we made, and then we were just joking around about names and stuff. And we're like, we could have gone with Zero, or we could have gone with like, whatever you want. But we decided Squishing Squashes was the funniest thing we could do. And so this was probably 2004 or 2003, 2004, 2005, in that era. So it was MySpace days.
Yeah.
And so I just went and made a MySpace page that was, it was like myspace.com/Smashing Pumpkins cover band. And then, do you remember back like with the profile picture, right by the profile picture, there'd be two quotes and quotes, and it would just be like one sentence, like a lyric from a song.
Or yeah.
Or it just said Squishing Squashes is what ours said. And I made the page. And I went to sleep, and I woke up, and we had like 40,000 friend requests.
Holy,
and I was like,
shit,
what is this? And it was just because we had Smashing Pumpkins somewhere in the title.
Yeah.
And we had practiced two or three times, maybe. It was me, the drummer from a band my other band toured with, and then my buddy who lived in Atlanta, who I went to high school with, who I used to jam with in high school, and I knew he could pull it off. And then my roommate at the time was like classically trained pianist.
Oh, wow.
And she was like a cute blonde girl. And I taught her how to play
bass
Darcy Lines, and she picked up on it so fast, and we borrowed bass equipment. And so within like a week of that MySpace coming up, these Atlanta radio stations started like sending us messages like, we're doing a big beer festival in Atlanta for like, we're expecting 3,000 people or blah blah blah. And so we only did a handful of shows before I moved to New York, but we did a handful of shows, and they were all for like thousands of people.
Wow.
And it was so fun. That's insane. Mostly the heavier songs. Like we were doing like An Ode to No One and Silver Fuck. And,
right. Silver Fuck. Wow. For a crowd like that, that's a...
We were not what I think they wanted us to be.
Yeah.
But it was fine. It wasn't so off that.
Here's
whatever.
A 7 minute to 11 minute live song.
Yeah.
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 And, we were all, like, metal. We were going nuts up there.
Yeah.
Like, we were just, like, really having a lot of fun doing it.
That's funny.
But, so, yeah, that was awesome. And I talk about it on the special that's coming out a little bit. I'll only tell you things like so you can feel like bits. But one of the funniest things that really happens, this one dude would come to, we only did a handful of shows, like I said, but he came to all of them. And this one radio station show, we had like a, it was like, we didn't have like a proper dressing room. We just had like an area behind the stage that he could drunkenly get himself to very easily. And one time before we went on, he goes, he just cornered us and he was like, I gotta let you guys know, you're my favorite band. And I was like, that's really nice. But if you like us, there's another band you really got to check out, which is the proper actual Smashing Pumpkins. You like a cover band. A cover band can't be your favorite band.
Yeah.
But that was fun. And what else? Okay. And then so I don't know if you just want to jump into this. I don't know how dirty. I have a moral quandary with this one.
Okay.
I say it on the special. So this is the let's get into this. So my friend wanted to hook me up with this girl. He was like, she's really cool. I think you guys would get along. She also dated one of, or I don't know if dated or hooked up or whatever, with one of the members of the Smashing Pumpkins. And the way I tell this on stage and the way I'll do it now is, although it's going to be a way easier for your listeners to figure it out, as I say, I'm not going to tell you which member it is because this is a personal story. And so that's just the me classing it up as much as I can.
Yeah.
That being said, you will easily be able to figure out who it is because we were a tribute band and she dated the guy in the band who I was in the tribute band. And then I say, I'm not going to tell you who it is, but I will tell you I was the only person in the band not racially appropriate for who I was playing in the band. And I can play guitar but not sing. So if you want to figure out who it is, then that's it. But I'm not going to come out and tell you who it is. So anyway, right. Me and this girl went out and it went great. And so it turned out that the member of the band that she hooked up with...
Okay.
That's it. That's as much as,
right.
Who am I? Is it appropriate for me to be sharing that this person did this? I'm not shaming it. I think it's right. Wonderful if you're into that. Whatever.
Yeah.
So the whole thing is, I'm not. I've done it. I'm not prude.
Right.
From every angle.
We're
okay?
Not kink shaming. Yeah.
There's none of that shaming. But it's just not my preference. It's not my preference.
Uh-huh.
But. I was like, okay, this is, I got to do it with this lady, obviously with enthusiastic consent, because that's a perfect circle I need to complete, which is another
clue.
There you go. But I don't say it, but it's a clue. And so, you know, I did. And we went out and had a great time, and she was all about it, and I did. And as soon as she started laughing, she's like, what's so funny? And I'm like, I don't want, and she's, you know, I was like, And I thought, smash it. And it made me laugh. And so she started laughing, and you're both laughing. And she put it on. And all I could think was, today is the greatest day I've ever known. So there you go. That's the joke, basically, shortened story version.
Right.
Get here. Is that appropriate? Is
we're
that
okay boys fear to tread.
We're boys fear to tread. Man, that's a deeper cut.
There you go.
That would have been a great tag there, but actually that's what works for here.
I think on stage
it would have, it's hard even with the, if you perform for, I'm sure you, I did a show in Chicago and I did the joke and I ended with that thing and just nothing. And I was like, that's a lyric from a Smashing Pumpkins song.
I was like, oh,
know that? No one knew. It was,
see, that's a, I thought
performing for grad students. They're younger. They're just so much younger.
Right. But I thought when you said that, I wondered if the audience got it because I said we're boys fear to tread, but it's like we know that a general audience.
Yeah.
It's so funny as a comedian where you know your audience about like what will hit given spaces of like if you're doing
given
something.
Given space boys.
Yeah, given space. We're just going to do puns for the rest of this.
I would love to do that.
But like, you know, it's going
to be. Love to do that.
Love from Melancholy Disc 1.
Mm-hmm.
But like, yeah, because like the way that you're playing, like if you're, it's not here anymore, but Meltdown Comics versus the Comic Store.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a completely different audience
for sure.
That's savvy to certain things. So I'm surprised that even today works because like most people, when I say Smashing Pumpkins or I'm a fan of them, they're kind of like, oh, yeah, I think I remember.
I think what would people remember the most if they're not? Oh, and we didn't get to the point I dropped off yet, but we'll get there because we'll get there. But, I would imagine people would think Bullet with Butterfly Wings.
I think that
if you're
is
of or a certain age.
Or Tonight Tonight.
Tonight
those
Tonight.
Those are like
probably.
Or 1979.
You know what?
Those are the three big
1979 was one that my more general cover band one would do, and that one went way better than like Cherub Rock or something, just as far as people being excited to hear
it. And kids now know it because it's they're covering it. There's like you see a lot of the younger generation get into them through 1979. That's I think that's their most streamed song.
I can see that.
Let me see what that is.
But I know they had that Batman one. I forget.
No, that was from
one of the Batman
Lost Highway. The one that was on Batman was The End Is the Beginning Is End. Yeah, and then it resurfaced with Watchmen because they used The Beginning Is the End Is the Beginning for that one.
I'm like deep cut. I'm like, you guys know Do the Rubber Band?
Yeah, exactly. We already talked about Rubber Man. Like, Do the Rubber Man. We actually went through each one of those.
Oh, is it Rubber Band or Man?
It's Rubber Man.
Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah. We were saying, I've been saying Rubber Band for 25 years.
Do the Rubber Man. We went through each one of those tracks.
Yeah.
And gave like a one like word to one sentence review on each one of those.
That's awesome. Man, that would be... That would be a thing that if I were like, hey, let's do a Smashing Pumpkins cover set now, it would be like, let's
just
learn.
Do all of that pistachio
medley.
It's pistachio.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I know. I was saying it wrong for the whole time, man. And our listeners tore us to shreds.
I guess
I'm not the biggest.
I'm not the biggest. Well, whatever. If any of you have had your in the same as one of the members, then you can challenge me on who's a bigger fanny.
So the top five are 1979, Bullet with Butterfly Wings, Disarm, Zero, and Today. Those are the most played.
Okay.
Surprise.
No
mayonnaise.
Tristezza?
Yeah, they're going
back to I was obsessed with that
guess.
Song when I was a kid.
I mean, it's great.
And Drown was like the B-side that people, I don't know if it was a B-side. It was a B-side, right?
Well, it was on the single soundtrack. It was the last track on the single soundtrack, I think. Yeah. Can't remember. But then... Yeah, that was like the bridge between Gish and Siamese Dream.
Yeah.
That was like, oh, we're kind of moving towards this as opposed to that. But Tristessa I love because of that dive bomb like part when it kind of goes that.
Yeah. They were so fun to play. Also, it's like now I've been playing guitar for a lot longer and I've just gone into this total nerd play where I'm like Paul Gilbert and just like people that like you know, if you're not a guitar, it's like unlistenable to other people. It's just too fast and weird, but it's just why I enjoy. But back then, just like move a little octave chord around and it was just a simpler time.
So wait, when did you fall off?
So I was obsessed with Melancholy, and then I probably would have dropped off with Adore, but the dude I was playing with in high school was like figuring out and like kind of coming up with cool guitar versions of like otherwise not heavy guitar songs.
Yeah.
And so like we kind of came up with, we were like doing some, you know, some guitar versions of songs, and that was really fun. And so I got more into Adore. But it was definitely a drop off from like Melancholy and stuff. And then when Machina came out, I got pretty into it, but not. And then I went and saw them live around then, so it like revamped my interest in the old stuff. And obviously the Everlasting Gaze was awesome, and there were like a few songs I really liked, but then a lot of stuff that I got a little bored with and stuff.
Right. Yeah.
And then I dropped off after that. But Smashing Pumpkins is a band. There's very few bands. I could probably name a couple other ones, like maybe Weezer and a couple where like I won't listen to for long stretches, like years, and then come and then just get obsessed with them again. And Pumpkins have been one that have come in and out of my life like that. Like a weird mayonnaise came on just a mix the other day or something, or a recommended thing, and I was
on
Holy
Beef.
Shit, I haven't listened. Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Mayonnaise is a weird song because is where I learned pinch harmonics, and and it's weird because you learn them on a weird little clean lick, where then later you hear like Zakk Wylde and stuff, and you're like, whoa they scream, but with the little clean intro, it's like tick, 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 tick.
Yeah,
it's cool.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, that's around the time, like, well, when they reformed, or at least when it was Billy and Jimmy in 2007, I had already living in New York. I had already kind of moved on from, because I was like, I'm in Brooklyn, I'm listening to like more of the like hip stuff, you know, and I was kind of like above it, but I still was listening to it, but I just never could get into it as much as I did when I was in high school. Yeah. So I was like, oh, and it also wasn't cool to kind of like them. And but then later on, I was just like, I don't give a shit.
That's, well, that's what's happening to us now. Well, not even now, earlier than now, but like you start listening to the stuff you used to listen to and be like, I don't give a shit anymore.
Yeah.
I like it. I don't care. I'm going to wear my fucking Zero hoodie and fuck everybody else.
I got my tattoo.
Yeah.
And this is kind of a similar. Just,
that's cool. Oh, I got a Spinal Tap tattoo at age 40.
Whoa.
My nipple goes to 11.
Wow. Okay. There it is.
I did. And people are like, you got that when you were a kid? No, I got that last year.
I know. Well, that's what my first tattoo was last year when I turned 42. It's just like, instead of like for our generation, since we're in this hellscape of capitalism that destroyed, the boomers just destroyed our, just completely destroyed anything that we could possibly have, like a home.
Mm-hmm.
So when we get to our midlife crisis, we can't afford a like Lamborghini or anything like that. We're getting tattoos for the first time.
Yeah, a tattoo, a $300 guitar that I can mod.
Right. A $400 copy of Machina, original pressing.
That's cool. That's
cool.
Man, as much of a vinyl dork as I am, I don't think I've pulled the trigger on any crazy Smashing Pumpkins stuff. I would like to do that though. The other thing about
you can look at my collection after
I will.
This,
I would love to. And I think my dad threw away my Smashing Pumpkins box set. My brother still has it. I saw it at his house, but
wow,
that was cool. That was a cool thing to have back then.
Well, so you said that you were mentioning your special. When is that coming out?
Special comes out March 22nd. It'll be a YouTube special, so everybody will be able to find it real easy.
Sweet.
Do you think? So, yeah, special comes out then. Do you think it will get back to the members of the Smashing Pumpkins?
There is a possibility. There is a small possibility it could.
I'm going to make it I'll probably post the clip also. So it'll be on my social media. It'll be on the internet, YouTube. It'll be on a podcast. I was talking to my wife about this just because we were talking about specifically this bit. But I've done a few bits about celebrities. I think I have three examples that I could think of, and all three I have confirmation that they got back to the person.
Oh.
I used to do a joke about this guy in New York who was impersonating the drummer of Dream Theater, but we thought it was him, and that joke came out years and years and years. 2010, I think I put that out. I hadn't done anything yet, but still it got around to him, and he tweeted the bit with a thing going like, this comedian made a bit out of a thing that was a nightmare for me for like years or something. I guess there was a guy who was pretending to be him and whatever. But I don't say anything bad about that. There's no shit talking for me.
Yeah.
No, other than,
Dream Theater, that's some nerdy music shit.
I listen
right
to some John Petrucci solo stuff on the way over here.
Yeah.
Yeah, so nerdy.
Yeah.
Who wants to listen to that? That's not just a music.
I was in the music dorm in college because all the music majors were in one kind of dorm.
Yeah.
And my neighbor, he would like just shred on Dream Theater all the time. He's like, you into that? And I'm like, I'm getting into it since you're playing it. You know, like,
it's funny. Yeah. It's like too technical. It's funny. I don't love Dream Theater, but the guitar player from Dream Theater solo stuff, I love some of that stuff.
Yeah.
It's so bizarre. But it's funny. In college, my first day in the dorms, I put up a Smashing Pumpkins poster, and a really nice, cool, cute girl walked by, saw the poster, and we became friends, and then we were friends all through college.
Oh, wow.
Over a Smashing Pumpkins. It was actually specifically a Billy Corgan poster, I believe, that was in a Guitar World magazine.
Oh, yeah. I had all those Guitar Worlds. Yeah. Like, I mean, I went back home recently, and they're still in my old closet, just taking up a ton of space of just like that. And then, like, I would hide, like, Playboys and stuff in there because I was like, my mom's not going to look here. You know?
Dude, first day of that same first day of college, my parents dropped me off, and I had all my, all my stuff, my little duffel bags of clothes and stuff. And I had a stack of magazines that was all Guitar World, Sports Illustrated, whatever. And, in the middle there, I had one Playboy that I had gotten when I was like 16 and it had for like 2.5 years. It was my one thing.
Right.
And, I like went out to the car to grab something. When I got back in the dorm, my parents were taking trips. They're going in. I'm coming out. Yeah. When I got back in, that duffel bag was on the bed. The magazines were taken out and the Playboy was on top. And, and that was it. I never talked to my parents about it. And
that,
I was
like, that's how they get you, though. Yeah. That's like they just put it there being like, I know.
Yeah.
That's how my mom would. I remember one time she found a cigarette and she put it out.
Yeah.
And didn't talk to me about it.
Yeah.
But it was like,
I know.
And I'm like,
their way of saying I'm disappointed.
That fucking terrified me more than if she were to like. And also, my mom used to be in the army, so then like when she's a small little Mexican woman who can like turn it on. She's sweet, but like, ooh, that military training just like bark, you know, like
She's like, I'm gonna make you smoke,
this whole one cigarette that I had like in a fucking tin, like a weird tin.
You just put on some sunglasses and smoke it and look real cool.
Yeah. She's like, actually, I take it back. Yeah, you look pretty cool. No, this is like, I was like 16.
Yeah.
But even the,
who are the other, and I had a joke about Dikembe Mutombo. I know that got back to him. He even made a video saying, Adam, I saw your joke. I think you're very funny. And I was like, okay, so that's cool. And man, there was one more that I did a joke about the person and it got back. But anyway, I can't remember who it is right now. But so I'm like, there's a chance it's going to get back to him. And I wonder what he'll think about it.
Well, next time we go see a show, we'll invite you along.
Please.
Sometimes we get to go backstage.
Yeah.
And he can kick your ass then for it.
Yeah.
Or
I would love to get in a
put
fight.
Put it in your
seat. My God. That would really I know you want to. See, that's the thing. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, if you're doing a Smashing Pumpkins.
I'll do some clever editing.
Yeah, so, sure. Yeah. Put it in your.
Your special's going to be out on 3/22. So is there anything like you want to plug, like shows or anything? Where can people find you?
Oh, sure. You know, I'm on all the socials. Adam D. Newman on Instagram, Adam Newman Comedy on YouTube, AdamNewmanComedy.com. If this is going to be out in a couple weeks, I'm putting together, I'm starting to book the next tour right now. So
okay.
I'll probably, I don't know. I literally just started this week. So I get dates up there. I'm going to tour around, but the special is going to come out. There will be vinyl. There'll be, if you want a Squishing Squashes shirt and you're a size small, I got a whole bunch of those left over that you can find on my website.
We'll post a picture on the socials too of it. Yeah,
I just gave you my last non-smalls, I think. But I was doing that joke on that last few tours. But if it's gonna come out on the special, I'll probably stop doing the joke. But so I won't make any more of the shirts. But unless people want them, there's a big
it's gonna boom.
Big
it's
demand for those Squishing Squashes shirts.
Get on Redbubble or whatever.
I guess it's on. I think it's on one of those sites too, so you can get a custom.
So pumpkin fans, go see Adam. Talk pumpkins with him afterwards.
If you like cats, Pussy Boys podcast. That's all Z's.
Yep.
Don't type in those S's. You'll find something
you'll sound
you don't want.
This. Yeah, it's a little bit of incel territory probably on that one.
Yeah.
Well, Adam, thank you for joining. For this fun episode of Smashing Pumpcast. And until next time, we bid you all a fond farewell and good.
I knew it. Bye.
Night.
Just kidding. I knew what it was. It's farewell and good night. It's the end of melancholy. Farewell. Good night. Last one out. Turn out the lights. I don't know. Let's just fucking get out of here and scorch this earth.